Om Yajamananda Sya Janardana Svataya Chaksu Samilatam Jena Tasmai Sri Yavena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Nadati Sapanavikam Vansa Kapadu Vrascha Pipasana Vaya Vrascha Patitam Papanevyo Vaisvayo In the 22nd chapter of the 8th canto, towards the end, after Bali Maharaj was released, he was given benedictions. He was praised by Lord Vamadev and then given benedictions to become the king of the lower planet called Sutala. So although Sutala is a lower planet, it's still a glorious planet. Planet that is aspired for by the residents of the higher planets. And then the Lord told Bali Maharaj that in the next Manu, in the 8th Manu, he would achieve the position of Lord Indra. Because that was a desire of Bali Maharaj, that he wanted to act as the King of Heaven, as the Lord of the universe. So Krishna gave him, fulfilled that desire in a legitimate way, by making him as Indra in the next Manu. So, in the beginning of the next chapter, Bali Maharaj is going to reply. At first, Sukadeva Goswami was narrating this to Maharaj Prickett. He says, when the supreme, ancient, eternal personality of Godhead, supreme, ancient, most ancient, eternal, personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, who was universally accepted as a pure devotee of the Lord and therefore a great soul. Bali Maharaj's eyes filled with tears, his hands folded, and his voice faltering in devotional service, responded as follows. So Bali Maharaj was a pure devotee, although his birth was in an Asura family. He was in the same family as Haranyakashipu. So he was an asura, opposed to Lord Vishnu, opposed to the demigods, but yet he's accepted as a pure devotee. So here are his words in reply to the Lord's benedictions to him. Bali Maharaj said, what a wonderful effect there is in even attempting to offer you respectful obeisances, to offer respectful obeisances to you. I merely endeavored to offer you obeisances, but nonetheless the attempt was as successful as those of pure devotees. The causeless mercy you have shown to me, a fallen demon, was never achieved even by the demigods or the leaders of the various planets. Such mercy, Bali Maharaj had material attachments. Krishna swept away every bit of his attachments and awarded him his own darshan, took away everything from Bali Maharaj, but then gave him, he humiliated him, took everything from him, but then gave him even more, plus his own protection. So he's saying, who have you been more merciful to than one such as I? When Vamanadeva appeared before Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj immediately wanted to offer him respectful obeisances. But he was unable to do so because of the presence of Sukacharya and other demonic associates. The Lord is so merciful, however, that although Bali Maharaj did not actually offer obeisances, but only endeavored to do so within his mind, the Supreme Personality of God had blessed him with more mercy than even the demigods could ever expect. So the attempt was made by Bali Maharaj to offer obeisances. So he's seeing that attempt, that desire, is all he could do. Sometimes in our Krishna consciousness, we may be bound up by circumstances or a lack of capacity, and all we can do is make the attempt to please Krishna. And Krishna sees that. Prabhupada will explain. Bhava Grahi Janardana, he takes the essence of one's devotional mentality. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.40, saupam apyasya dhammasya trayate mahatobayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhava Grahi Janardana because he takes only the essence of a devotee's attitude. Kamva Dayalum Saranam Vrijema. In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Vidura says this, O Pakayam Stanakalavatam, that when the witch Putana came to Krishna, she put poison upon her breast and fed that to Krishna. She took on a beautiful form, even though she was horrendous to look at. And she put poison on her breast and tried to kill Krishna by offering that to Krishna. But yet, Krishna took the essence, the good in that, thinking that she has acted as if she was my nurse, trying to feed me. She has acted as if she is Dhatri, nurse. And I've sucked upon her breast. How? She's acted as my mother. How could I do something horrible to my mother? He had to kill her, though, but he awarded her the position of Dhatri. So that's Krishna's mood. He took the good, the grain of good from a mountain of nastiness in Putana. So he's called Baba Grahi Janardana. And see the difference between Krishna's mood and the mood in which the members of contemporary civilization, they deal with the cow. So in the Vedic culture, because the cow offers milk, she is considered mother. And what do the people do today? They take the milk and they just kill her mercilessly. They take every last drop of milk and then kill her and eat her. Causes so much pain and grief, and yet she's given milk. Who hasn't tasted milk and taken milk from mother cow? And Krishna, on the other hand, someone came to kill him, but there was a little glimmer of motherhood in that witch, and Krishna accepted that motherhood and rewarded her. So the demonic mentality is exactly the opposite. The cow loves to give milk. She produces, by eating grass, she produces more milk than is required for her calf. If the calf drank all the milk that mother cow produced, the calf would die. There's more than a cow can drink, because it is meant for human beings to eat, to drink. And it's such a wonderful food. And Krishna is so affectionate to the cows that if society takes care of cows in a nice way, then the society is blessed by Krishna, because Krishna is pleased. But yet, what do the people of demonic, cruel-hearted, and if one associates with a cow for a few minutes, immediately one's mind cools down. The atmosphere around a cow is so soothing. And what do the demonic people do? They kill the cow. They take the milk, they kill the cow. The milk is the blood of the cow transformed into milk. And instead of using Krishna's natural way, they kill the cow. So this is a demonic, heartless, cruel and heartless, kill the mother who's given milk. Demonic, cruel and heartless. And therefore there are so many reactions in society because of things like this. So Krishna is not like that. He is not ungrateful. He is not an ingrate. He is known as Baba Grahi Janardana because he takes only the essence of a devotee's attitude. If a devotee sincerely surrenders the Lord as the super soul in everyone's heart, immediately understands this. Thus, even though externally a devotee may not render full service, if he is internally sincere and serious, the Lord welcomes his service nonetheless. Thus, the Lord is known as Baba Grahi Janardana because he takes the essence of one's devotional mentality. Sukadeva Goswami continued. After speaking in this way, Bali Maharaj had said, All I did was try to attempt to offer your obeisances, and you've awarded, rewarded me in this way. So Sukadeva Goswami continued. After speaking in this way, Bali Maharaj offered his obeisances first to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, and then to Lord Brahma and Shiva. Thus he was released from the bondage of the Nagapasha, the ropes of Varuna, and in full satisfaction he entered the planet known as Sutta. Thus having delivered the proprietorship of the heavenly planets to Indra, and having fulfilled the desire of Aditi, because this pastime, or part of the pastime, very long pastime, it takes up actually so much of the eighth canto. But the appearance of Vamandev was, before that was Aditi praying after the Bali Maharaj had taken over the position of Indra and driven the demigods out. So Aditi had performed the Payovrata and had gotten Vamandeva, the son, with the desire to win back the kingdom of heaven for her sons. So Aditi's desire was fulfilled, the mother of the demigods, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead ruled the affairs of the universe. When Prahlad Maharaj heard how Bali Maharaj, his grandson and descendant, had been released from bondage and had achieved the benediction of the Lord, he spoke as follows in a tone of greatly ecstatic devotion. Prahlad Maharaj said, several verses, and one purport, so read all three verses and then the one purport. It's the purport's on the last verse anyway. Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are universally worshipped. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva worship your lotus feet. Yet, although you are such a great personality, you have kindly promised to protect us, the demons. I think that such kindness has never been achieved even by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. What to speak of other demigods or common people? So kind. O supreme shelter of everyone, great personalities like Brahma enjoy their perfection simply by tasting the honey of rendering service at your lotus feet. But as for us, who are all rogues and debauchees, born of an envious family of demons, how have we received your mercy? It has been possible only because your mercy is causeless. O my Lord, your pastimes are all wonderfully performed by your inconceivable spiritual energy, and by her perverted reflection, the material energy. So both the pastimes performed by Yogamaya, or the reflection of Yogamaya in this material world known as Mahamaya, everything is done under that influence and that control, under the Lord's energy. So all the pastimes, all activities are performed in this way, under the energy of the Lord. You have created all the universes. As the super soul of all living entities, you are aware of everything, and therefore you are certainly equal toward everyone. Nonetheless, you favor your devotees. This is not partiality, however, for your characteristic is just like that of a desire tree, which yields everything according to one's desires. So Krishna favors his devotees and is neutral towards every other living entity. He acts as the judge and judges neutrally all other living entities, but he gives special dispensation to his devotees. And Prahlad says, this is natural. It's just in reciprocation with his devotees. The atheists, they think that the Supreme is nothing, and they get nothing from the Supreme. Perfect reciprocation. The devotees think that the Supreme is everything, and that the Supreme is merciful, and that the Supreme is loving, and they serve the Lord in that mood, and therefore the Lord reciprocates them in a merciful, loving, kind way. It is just the reciprocation. But of course, Krishna gives more than reciprocation to his devotees. Here is Prabhupada's purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, there is one quotation I think in the Mahabharata that actually describes how the reciprocation isn't, usually the Lord is compared to a desire tree. He reciprocates according to one's desires. But there's one quotation in the Mahabharata says that Krishna becomes the enemy of his devotee's enemy. If someone is inimical towards the devotees, Krishna becomes inimical to that person. So that is more than a reciprocation like a desire tree. He reciprocates more with his devotees. So this is wonderful. So the Bhagavad Gita 9.29 says, Samoham savabhuteshu name dveshos tina priya ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maya tateshu chapyaham. Krishna explains in this chapter, the ninth chapter. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. Samoham savabhuteshu name dveshos tina priya. I'm not envious or especially friendly to anyone. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly equal toward all living entities, but a devotee who fully surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord is different from a non-devotee. In other words, everyone can take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord to enjoy equal benedictions from the Lord, but non-devotees do not do so, and therefore they suffer the consequences created by the material energy. So Prabhupada's explanation is that everyone has an equal chance. He's not favorite, doesn't show favoritism and disbar anyone from being his devotee and getting his mercy. So that's how Prabhupada explains that. He's equal to everyone. Anyone can become a devotee and get his mercy. In other words, everyone can take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord to enjoy equal benedictions from the Lord. But non-devotees do not do so, and therefore they suffer the consequences created by the material energy. We can understand this fact by a simple example. The king or government is equal to all citizens. Therefore, if a citizen capable of receiving special favor from the government is offered such favors, this does not mean that the government is partial. One who knows how to receive favors from the authority can receive them. But one who does not neglects these favors and does not receive them. There are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods. The demigods are fully aware of the Supreme Lord's position, and therefore they are obedient to him. But even if demons know about the supremacy of the Lord, they purposefully defy his authority. Therefore, the Lord makes distinctions according to the mentality of the living being, but otherwise, he is equal to everyone. So if we change our mentality, the Lord will change how he deals with us. So there is the key in Krishna consciousness, to change our mentality, to purify our mentality, to gain attraction and loving devotion to Krishna and place that within our mentality, then Krishna will reciprocate in a wonderful way. We take one step to Krishna and Krishna will take 10 to us. Like a desire tree, the Lord fulfills the desires of one who takes shelter of him. But one who does not take such shelter is distinct from the surrendered soul. One who takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is favored by the Lord, regardless of whether such a person is a demon or a demigod. The Lord is equal to everyone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear son Prahlad. So Prahlad said, you are so kind to us that even though we have such horrible births, horrible because we're averse to you, we're born in demonic families, still by taking shelter of you, as Bali Maharaj did, as Prahlad himself did, then we are receiving such mercy from you. More than even the demigods who are naturally disposed to you. So the Lord replied to Prahlad, my dear son Prahlad, all good fortune unto you. For the time being, please go to the place known as Suttal and there enjoy happiness with your grandson and your other relatives and friends. The Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Prahlad Maharaj, you shall be able to see me there in my usual feature with Kanchal, disc, club, and lotus in my hand. Because of your transcendental bliss, due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities. Prabhupada explains in his purport to that verse that seeing the Lord constantly, or always, or nitya can also mean regularly, that frees one from the shackles of material bondage. And therefore his recommendation is to visit the temples of the Lord. The devotees, he says, are advised to visit the temples of the Lord, to see the Lord in the deity form and become free. Sukadeva Goswami said, so all the different, this pastime is wrapping up now, and everyone is, the Bali Maharaj went to Suttal, Prahlad Maharaj also is going to Suttal for some time, but he'll be always seeing the Lord there, and therefore completely transcendental to the fact that he's in a lower place. So accompanied by Bali Maharaj, my dear King Prickett, Prahlad Maharaj, the master of all the chiefs of the demons, took the Supreme Lord's order on his head with folded hands. After saying yes to the Lord, circumambulating him and offering him respectful obeisances, he entered the lower planetary system known as Sutta. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, thereafter addressed Sukracharya, who was sitting nearby in the midst of the assembly with the priests, the Brahmahuta, Udgata, and Advarju, because he had seen everything. He had seen Bali Maharaj give everything to the Lord expand, Bali Maharaj tied up by the Lord, the demons attack the Lord, the Lord's men killing the demons, and then Bali Maharaj being bound up with ropes, and the Lord not being satisfied because he didn't get the third place to put his third step. And then Bali Maharaj offering the Lord his head, and Supacharja had cursed Bali Maharaj to lose everything, to go to hell. Suttala is considered a hell. So after Bali Maharaj left, the Lord spoke to Sukracharya, the priest, the Brahmin priest. So he said, there are three verses here, or he asks him a question, and then Sukracharya responds in three verses. So as this pastime is winding up, "O best of the Brahmins, Sukracharya," he said, "please describe the fault or discrepancy in your disciple Bali Maharaj, who engaged in performing sacrifices. This fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of qualified Brahmins." So the system is that in every sacrifice, or in every activity actually, nothing can be done perfectly in this world. So there's special priests whose business is to watch the performance of a sacrifice, a Vedic ritual. And then any faults that are within the ritual, they will cause bad effects. There will be adverse results. You can even get the opposite result, or something terrible can happen, or one can be afflicted with sinful reactions. So the Lord asked Sukracharya, because there was a sacrifice being performed by Bali Maharaj, to what faults are there? Because the priests business, the checking priest's business was to notice the faults and then rectify them to make sure that the reactions don't come. So he's saying to the Lord, to Sukracharya, that you, in the presence of the qualified Brahmins, you find the faults and you nullify them. So Sukracharya took it in a different way, and he answered, because he had cursed his disciple Bali Maharaj for not giving everything, for agreeing with Vamadeva and giving everything to him. So Sukracharya said, "My Lord, you are the enjoyer and lawgiver in all performances of sacrifice. And you are the Jagya Purusha, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one has fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancies or faults in his performance of sacrifice? So the purpose of the sacrifice, Jagya Vai Vishnu, is ultimately to satisfy Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu is standing right there as Lord Vamandeva, and he's also shown himself completely pleased by what Sukracharya has done. So therefore, by definition, the overriding purpose has been fulfilled, so therefore what fault is there? That's what he answers. You've been satisfied. And then a very important verse. There may be mantratas tantratas tidram deshakalahavastutaha savam karotinis tidram anusankirtanam tava. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. Sukhacharya says this. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. All these are regulated very strictly in the Vedic sacrifices, and they all have to be performed exactly right to get the result. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So therefore, whatever is done, and this is, and Prabhupada will quote Jiva Goswami in this purport, whatever is done should be accompanied by the chanting of the holy names, because it removes all the faults. Because in this world, again, nothing can be done perfectly. But the faults are removed of the activity when the holy name of Krishna is chanted. Prabhupada's purport. So very important verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam Kaloa Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiyanayata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. In this age of Kali, it is extremely difficult to perform Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or sacrifices perfectly. Hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate the paraphernalia for Vedic performances. Therefore, the sacrifice recommended in this age is Sankirtan, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. Instead of wasting time performing Vedic sacrifices, those who are intelligent, those who possess good brain substance, should take to the chanting of the Lord's holy name and thus perform sacrifice perfectly. I've seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing jagya, Prabhupada says, and spending hundreds and thousands of rupees for imperfect sacrificial performances. This is a lesson for those who unnecessarily execute such imperfect sacrifices. We should take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yagyar sankirtana prayer yajantihi sumedasa. Although Sukhacharya was a strict Brahmin addicted to ritualistic activities, he also admitted, Nischidram anusankirtananam tava. My Lord, constant chanting of the holy name of your Lordship makes everything perfect. Chidram means faults, discrepancies. So nischidram, all faults, all discrepancies are removed by chanting Krishna's names, especially if we can chant constantly and without offense. In Kali Yuga, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot be performed as perfectly as before. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has recommended that although one should take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity, especially in worship of the deity, still there is a chance of discrepancy, and one should compensate for this by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore give special stress to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in all activities. So Sukhacharya, after saying that, says, Lord Vishnu, I must nonetheless act in obedience to your order, because obeying your order is most auspicious and is the first duty of everyone. So that was to neutralize any external faults. Sukadeva Goswami continued, in this way, the most powerful Sukhacharya accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect. Along with the best Brahmins, he began to compensate for the discrepancies in the sacrifice performed by Balimara. O King Prakrit, thus having taken all the land of Balimaraj by begging, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Lord Vamandev delivered to his brother Indra all the land taken away by Indra's enemies. Lord Brahma, the master of King Daksha and all the other Prajapatis, accompanied by all the demigods, the great saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitraloka, the Manus, the Munis, and such leaders as Daksha, Bhrigu, and Angira, as well as Kartikeya, and Lord Shiva, accepted Lord Vamandev as the protector of everyone. He did this for the pleasure of Kasyapa Muni and his wife Aditi, and for the welfare of all the inhabitants of the universe, including their various leaders. O King Prickett, Indra was considered the king of all the universe, but the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, wanted Upendra, Lord Vamandev, as the protector of the Vedas, the principles of religion, fame, opulence, auspiciousness, vows, elevation to the higher planetary system, and liberation. Thus they accepted Upendra, Lord Vamandev, as the supreme master of everything. This decision made all living entities extremely happy. So this is the decision that we have to make also, to accept Lord Krishna as the supreme master of everything. And we may be little masters, secondary masters, but he is the independent supreme master. We are whatever we happen to be master of, we are dependent in our mastership. He is the supreme independent, and that will make us happy. Thereafter, along with all the leaders of the heavenly planets, Indra, the king of heaven, placed Lord Vamandev before him, and with the approval of Lord Brahma, brought him to the heavenly planet in a celestial aeroplane. Indra, king of heaven, being protected by the arms of Vamandev, the supreme personality of Godhead, thus regained his rule of the three worlds and was reinstated in his own position, supremely opulent, fearless, and fully satisfied. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Kartikeya, the great sage Bhrigu and other saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitraloka, and all other living entities present, including the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, and living entities who travel in outer space by aeroplanes, they all glorify the uncommon activities of Lord Vamandev. So because Lord Vamandev had expanded himself from being a little dwarf, he had expanded himself and covered the whole world, and then he covered the whole universe with his second step. So quite uncommon in his activities. Trivikram, Upendra. O King, while chanting about and glorifying the Lord, they returned to their respective heavenly planets. They also praised the position of Aditi. O King Prickett, pleasure of your dynasty, I have now described to you everything about the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vamanadeva. Those who hear about this are certainly freed from all the results of sinful activities. That's called Shruti Phala, or the fruit of hearing. Freedom from the sins of all activities. One who is subject to death cannot measure the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, a person who is in this world cannot understand how glorious and wonderful Krishna is. It is beyond the scope of our tiny, finite brains to understand how wonderful Krishna is. One who is subject to death cannot measure the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Trivikram, Lord Vishnu, any more than one can count the number of atoms on the entire planet Earth. No one, whether born already or destined to take birth, is able to do this. This has been sung by the great sage Vasishta. Purport. The Shishta Muni has given a mantra about Lord Vishnu. Nate Vishnu Jayamano Natato Mahimna Paramantaram Api Apa. No one can estimate the extent of the uncommonly glorious activities of Lord Vishnu. Unfortunately, there are so-called scientists who are subject to death at every moment but are trying to understand by speculation the wonderful creation of the cosmos. This is a foolish attempt. Long ago, Vasishtha Muni said that no one in the past could measure the glories of the Lord and no one can do so in the future. One must simply be satisfied with seeing the glorious activities of the Supreme Lord's creation. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita, Vistabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam senastito jagat. With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The material world consists of innumerable universes, each one full of innumerable planets, which are all considered to be products of the Supreme Personality of Guidance material energy. Yet this is only 1/4 of God's creation. The other 3/4 of creation constitute the spiritual world. Among the innumerable planets in only one universe, the so-called scientists cannot understand even the moon and Mars, but they try to defy the creation of the Supreme Lord and His uncommon energy. Such men have been described as crazy. Nunam pramata kurute vakarna, karma. Somewhere I read recently that some scientists have developed a chicken with no feathers. So you can imagine someone working his whole life to make this marvelous poor creature, to defy, to make it easier, so when they kill him, they don't have to pull out his feathers, to defy the plan of God. Next thing you know, some crazy scientist will make square peas that don't fall off your spoon. This will be certainly very wonderful. But someone will spend their whole life doing crazy things like this. And in the next life, they become a square chicken or something like that, or a featherless chicken, because their consciousness is completely absorbed in this. So it is crazy. And all for the purpose of sense gratification, smashing the atoms, this and that, knew this, knew that. But no one is happy, and they're going to die, and they'll never understand reality anyway in this way. It is just too vast. And this whole incredible material creation is just one, springs from one part, one ekam sena, eka amsa, one part of Krishna's power. What to speak of trying to understand Krishna, God, which is the purpose of life. So we adopt a different method to try to understand Krishna. No one can understand Krishna completely. But the method that the devotees adopt is the method of bhakti and trying to please Krishna. And then by Krishna's grace, what He wishes us to know, He reveals to us. Nunam pramata kuruteva karma. Such crazy men unnecessarily waste time, energy, and money in attempting to defy the glorious activities of Arukram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I remember I had a philosophy professor when I was in the university so many years ago, and I'm sure he's quite dead now. But he said, I remember him saying, when I explain my philosophy, there will be one thing missing. He was an arrogant fellow, he said, and that will be the sound of angels' wings flapping. Meaning to say, there will be no God in my philosophy. And there was another, so arrogant. Under the control of death, who is enforcing death upon me? We don't think. Why is this law so unbreakable that no one can defy it? Who is so much power that he's enforcing this? And I remember when the first Russian cosmonaut went into outer space, because then Russia was fully communist and atheistical, his comment was, I did not see God there. Big deal. Who cares? You didn't even see your eyelid. Does that mean you didn't have an eyelid? You didn't see the back of your head? So arrogance, pride and arrogance. But Sukadeva Goswami continues saying, if one hears about the uncommon activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His various incarnations, He is certainly elevated to the higher planetary system, or even brought back home, back to Godhead. Whenever the activities of Vamandeva described in the course of a ritualistic ceremony, whether the ceremony be performed to please the demigods, to please one's forefathers in Pitraloka, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets. So one chapter about Matsya. So all the Lord incarnates as Vamandev, a dwarf who can expand himself to the moon, and when he comes as a fish, he is still God, regardless of the form he's in. And even, as we shall find out quite soon in the 10th canto, even when he comes in the form of a coward boy who wanders, Trina Charu Nagam, Sri Naketanam, Panipanarpitam, and dances on the head of a serpent. Even when he comes in the form of a coward boy with a peacock feather upon his head and playing the flute and wandering in the forest of Vrindavan, he is still the Supreme Lord. This Lord is the most difficult to understand. But gradually, after understanding all these points, the Lord comes as a, when he's in the form of Vamandev, even though he's only this big, still his foot can be expanded, and dwarves have very short legs, and still that short leg can expand to the entirety of the universe and pierce the universe. When he's in the form of a fish, we'll hear, he's still unlimited. And when he's in the form, when he's in his original form, Adi Purush, Adi Govinda, Sarva Karana Karana, he is all attractive, but unlimited. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Vamana Devi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Yep.
Yes. Could you please explain that Pali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj were sort of contemporaneous there? He was his grandson and himself were living at the same time. I missed the sort of thread.
Yes. Well, there wasn't very much of a thread. It just explained that when Bali Maharaj was tied up with the ropes of Varuna, this was several, maybe either one or two chapters prior, Prahlad Maharaj came, and Bali Maharaj couldn't offer him proper respect, so he felt very ashamed. So he appeared there. Prahlad Maharaj came like the moon. If the moon gives off its soothing rays, Prahlad Maharaj came and gave off his soothing rays. And then he offered some prayers to the Lord, saying how merciful the Lord was. Not the prayers we heard today, but the prayers we heard 2 days ago, two classes ago.
So where did Prahlad come from? Where was Prahlad?
Where was he at the where was he coming from? That was the your question. It didn't say. And I don't know. He was there. This was taking place on the heavenly planets. Maybe he was, because he was asked, the Lord asked him quite politely if he would mind going to Sutala, where everyone, all the rest of his family was going there. So could you go there for some time? So maybe he was with the rest of his family in the heavenly planets when the demons took over. But it didn't really directly say. You want to know because you are Prahlad Bhakta.
No,
yes. There's humility now, it's all coming out. No, I'm just curious. It's your devotee of Prahlad. Yes. Because why would anyone call someone their brother? Why?
Yeah, the same father.
Yes, that's why. Same father and same mother. So they both came from Kashyapa. All the demigods came from Kashyapa and Aditi. That's why. Well, Bali Maharaj was called Indrasena, the enemy of Indra.
It was interesting that Sukracharya, I mean, like in the end he was just evil. He wasn't like, and he didn't have any enmity towards Krishna. He was just providing services, is that right?
Well, he was a devotee. He had been teaching Bali Maharaj that everything must be given to Vishnu, and Vishnu, the pleasure of Vishnu is the purpose of the sacrifice. But when then Vishnu came, he became fearful that he would lose everything. So he acted improperly due to his fear. But then when he understood, he was reminded that this was Vishnu after all. He saw him expand. He was a descendant, Sukracharya was a descendant in the Bhrigu dynasty. And he was rejected. So we can say that he acted improperly due to the desire of Krishna to see the pastime, to show that how everything, even the order of one's spiritual master, has to be given up for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. Even if it comes to rejecting one's a gotra guru or family guru or something. If Krishna is pleased, that is the ultimate point. So in theory, Sukracharya had been teaching that, but when it came down to it, he didn't want to follow that principle, but now he realized his fault. And therefore he spoke that wonderful verse, that there was no fault in what he's done, so that also meant there was no fault in what he had done in rejecting his spiritual master, so he accepted that. Great Brahman. Usana. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you very much, Arika.